Rubio on the drive. Wait, shoots. The shot is not good. Rebound Zubats. He loses it. Suns get it back to Rubio. Time. 6 seconds left in the game. Out to Booker. 5 seconds. 4 seconds. Booker on the drive. Goes up. Here's the shot. Shoot!
Booker!
And the Suns win the game. Devin Booker at the buzzer. Puts it up and puts it in. Oh, brother. Oh,
what a play by Devin Booker. And the Suns mobbed him on the floor.
They mobbed him.
You wanted to know what we sounded like.
Yeah, I don't remember. Right? I was
That's
just, you
what
know,
we
you,
sounded
just,
like.
Yeah, it was very, very emotional to watch the last minute and a half of that game. Just, you know, with the feeling that if they won this game and move to 3-0 in the bubble, they really give themselves a chance. I mean, they're only one game out of a playoff spot right now.
Absolutely.
Now, and so, I mean, it was just, we sensed it. We knew it throughout the entire game. It was the most important game the Phoenix Suns have played in a long, long time.
Yeah. Joining us here on the Burns and Gambo show, Suns win. They beat the Clippers 117-115. They're 3-0 so far in the bubble. They are going to be the talk of the NBA for at least the next news cycle or two with what they're doing so far. And Bloomer, I'm sure you were scoreboard watching from the word go with this whole bubble experiment, but now it takes on a whole new level, doesn't it? I mean, Rockets Trailblazers tonight just became must-watch television if you're a Suns fan. The two games tomorrow that involve teams that are battling for that eighth and ninth spot, those just became must-watch games for Suns fans. This is something we haven't experienced in years around here.
Nah, it does feel like a gift, Burnsy. It really does, and an unexpected one at that. And we're all going to be Mike D'Antoni, James Harden, Russell Westbrook fans tonight. You know, it's interesting. You could just kind of go through, pick through the teams that you want to see lose, and then obviously cheer for the other team. So tonight you want the Rockets to beat the Blazers, and if that happens, the Suns, you know, creep within a half game of Portland. They're still San Antonio, New Orleans are still in the mix there. But yeah, every single game is going to matter. One thing I wanted to pass along to you guys, because we did get to have Dario call in on the post game show, and I asked him about whether this, you know, experience is close to, you know, the international experience he's had before, and he's had some successful international experiences, talking about like the tournaments in the World Cup, the Olympics, those types of things. Because I've heard guys say that this is the closest thing, that they can refer to that. Well, it's not just Dario, and he talked about it in his answer. If you think about it, Ricky has a ton of that type of experience. Aaron Baines, a ton of that experience with Australia. I think that might be playing a role. We talked about Booker and, you know, his superstar status, but having guys like Ricky and Aaron and Dario, I think, have been huge for Monty Williams and company to kind of keep everybody's mind right and approach right going into this whole situation. What do you make of that?
Well, no, there's definitely a belief to, you know, having veteran players with, you know, with that type of experience on the roster, building, you know, I mean, there's, you know, Booker, like Aaron Gordon. There's no talent around Aaron Gordon. There was no talent around Booker. For so many, I mean, if you go look at the roster of the last, you know, five or six Phoenix Suns teams and look at how many players aren't even in the league anymore, how many players washed up. They put some bad rosters with Devin for a number of years. And this was the first time where he's had, you know, good players around him. And even with that, I mean, Rube, you know, I don't expect Baines or Kelly Oubre to play in any of these games. I do not expect that either one of them will play. But, yeah, I mean, having Saric come off the bench now. And any other thing, too, is drafting Mikal Bridges, not drafting a 19-year-old kid, but drafting a kid that won a couple of championships and was a senior. That makes a difference, too.
Oh, no doubt. And I know there's been a lot of talk, and there's going to be more, by the way, because he's burning it up again today, T.J. Warren, right? Tony Buckets is just exploding down in the bubble. He had the 53-point game. Today he had 21 at the half. It was 8-for-8. And I know there's been a lot of talk about, oh, well, they just gave him away. But, you know, the thing you have to consider is you got to construct the roster, right? And you had Mikal Bridges, you had Cam Johnson, and you knew you wanted to get them opportunities. And if T.J. Warren's here, those two guys aren't the same players we're seeing right now. And if T.J.'s Warren's here, Ricky Rubio might not be here. That's the other element that I think a lot of people lose when they take a look at what Tony Buckets is doing and oohing and awing and wishing he was still in a Phoenix Suns uniform. Listen, I'm excited for him. I mean, yeah, good on him for doing what he's doing down there.
What people don't like, and they have a fair point, is that you had to give up an asset, a draft pick, to get rid of T.J. That's the part that's hard to swallow. But T.J. needs the ball in his hands, and Josh Jackson needed the ball in his hands, and Mikal Bridges does not need the ball in his hands. hands, and Cam does not need the ball in his hands. And that was a big, yeah, in constructing the roster, that is one of the things that they looked at. They did not need another player with TJ that needed the ball in his hands. Plus, if everybody remembers, TJ was hurt a lot when he was here.
Yep. Yeah, and some of them were just inexplicable. We didn't really understand some of the things that kept him sidelined for a while. And speaking of injuries, I know you probably saw this, but Memphis not only taking a hit with losing the first three, but Jaren Jackson Jr. Torn meniscus, so he's out for the rest of this bubble experience. And you talk about a Grizzlies team that's completely flipped the other direction compared to the Suns. You got a feel for them.
Yeah, you do. And when that injury came down about, I swear, 2 minutes after the Suns won the game, and Gambo and I got to it about 10 minutes after that fact. And look, we don't ever root for injury ever, but you can't not acknowledge it and say that is part of everything that is building towards this breaking right for the Phoenix Suns. Now, I don't know if that's going to continue. I don't. They've had some good play. And they've combined it with some incredibly good fortune with everything that has gone on around them in the bubble in terms of who's winning, who's losing, who's beating who. The Kings were beating the Mavs for most of that game today. I didn't watch a minute of it, so I don't know how the Mavs forced overtime, and I don't know what the Mavs did in overtime to beat the Kings, but that allowed the Suns to leapfrog Sacramento now in the standings. We'll see what Houston does tonight. Tomorrow, if we're scoreboard watching, well, I can tell you tomorrow, the teams you're rooting for are the Utah Jazz. They're playing Memphis at 11:30 in the morning. And you're rooting for the Denver Nuggets because at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they're taking on the San Antonio Spurs. But in the short term, Bloomer, what you've got one of the best teams in the West, Houston. They're playing Portland tonight. You've got one of the best teams in the West, Utah. They're playing Memphis. One of the best teams in the West, Denver. They're playing San Antonio. Things look set up to continue to be very beneficial for the Suns, at least until the next time they take the floor against the Pacers.
They really do, and it makes you sit back and say, okay, there really is a legitimate chance now. And as these games go on, the Suns are going to have more on the line than their opponents, which is maybe different than what we thought coming in, and maybe the first couple games. And the Wizards, we don't need to break that one down. The Mavericks didn't really have a lot of room to move up or down. They were pretty much set in that seventh spot, maybe could get up to six. And so there wasn't a ton. But as you look at these matchups, like who's it going to mean more to? It's going to be the Suns. They're going to have an opportunity to make this play-in game if they continue to win. And to answer your question on how the Mavericks did it against the Kings, I know it's going to come as a huge shock to you guys because I know you watched the game against the Suns. Sacramento went to the free throw line 12 times. Dallas went to the free throw line 50 times in that game.
Jeez. You know, the thing I was thinking about, when the season was halted, the Suns were 26-39. They were 13 games under 500. If the season had continued, there's no way they would have played meaningful games. They just wouldn't have.
Nope.
They were 26-39. They were not going to – none of those games going forward were going to have much meaning because they were never going to put themselves in a position to get the 8 seed. Now you just got to get the 9 seed. But they never would have put themselves – so this in some ways, I mean, as bad as this has been for everybody with the shutdown and lockdown and coronavirus, getting this opportunity to be one of these 22 teams has been a blessing for them. They've been able to take advantage of it and play meaningful games where they would not have had the season just continued.
I agree. And what's interesting is, had they been set up differently, let's say Monty Williams isn't on top and they don't have the roster the way it is now with a bunch of young guys that look at this like a vacation. They're not leaving their families. They're not leaving young kids with the exception of maybe Baines and Rubio. And so you have this kind of, perfect storm shaping up in a bad analogy, but it is there to look at the way things kind of have all fallen for the Phoenix Suns. And now that they're down there, it's one thing to get the invite, but it's a whole nother thing to take full advantage of it. And who could doubt that this team is taking full advantage of this opportunity so far?
Who else stood out to you today? I mean, it's been Devin Booker all the time, but obviously Bridges, the big play, Ayton early. Rubio looks like a man rejuvenated so far in the bubble. Who else stood out to you in this game today, Bloomer?
I want to take a second to talk about two guys off the bench. Dario Saric, because I love the fact that he's using his body, he's bullying, he's dropping guys. We haven't had guys put a guy on his butt lately. I mean, Aaron Baines can do it, but he's not out there. And DeAndre, that's just not his game. But Dario's ready to do it, and he's doing it, and I love it. I mean, he discarded Paul George at one point. When I was yelling in the studio, put a guy on his back. You can't let him keep going to the rim. And he finally did that. He did that at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and I think it sent a message. Not only that, but he's also getting rebounds, and he's making some buckets. The other guy's campaign. How much has this team thirsted for an adequate backup point guard? And this is back-to-back games. He's stepped up, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Cameron Payne, to me, I think Cameron Payne and Javon Carter, they love playing those two together. They can both pick it up full court. Those two have given the ability to give Ricky some real good rest, and they do. They feed off each other. They play very well together, Javon and Payne.
They do. I love it.
Bloomer, thanks for doing a little overtime with us. We appreciate it. I know you got done doing a big post-game show, and you just basically did it with us, too. So we love it. We thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you very soon, okay?
Yeah, thanks for having me. And let me take a second to just thank you for entertaining all of us for the last 4 months without sports. And I'm just so glad for all of us, including you guys, that we have stuff like this to talk about now. So thanks again for all the hard work. I know it hasn't been easy, and you guys have really done a lot for all of us in the Valley, to be, you know, everybody here at 98.7 FM with what you guys do. So thank you.
Bloomer, we appreciate
that's awesome.
You saying
thanks,
that.
Bloomer.
Very nice of you to say that. John Bloom, host of the Suns pre- and post-game show, and the next Suns game coming up on Thursday at 1 o'clock. They take on the Indiana Pacers. When we come back, Devin Booker has made a lot of big shots in his Suns career. Today's game winner has now given him his signature moment. That next on the Burns and Gambo Show. The Phoenix Suns today got 19 points and 7 rebounds from DeAndre Ayton. He hit another three-pointer today. The Suns got 18 points and 4 assists from Ricky Rubio. He was 3 of 4 from the three-point line as well. The Phoenix Suns got 13 big points off the bench from Dario Saric, 12 big points off the bench from Cameron Payne. They were a plus 14 in Cameron Payne's 20 minutes on the floor, by the way, for what it's worth.
Good find by James Jones.
They were
really good find by James Jones.
They were plus 8 when Kaminsky was on the floor. He only had 3 points, but obviously he gave them some solid minutes. And the Phoenix Suns, 117-115 winners over the LA Clippers. But, of course, today is all about Devin Booker. 35 points on 13 of 25 shooting. He was 6 of 9 from the three-point line. Hit the game-winning, buzzer-beating 18-foot turnaround fadeaway jump shot with Paul George in his face to win the game.
Look, I don't want to downplay the importance of this game, because in my heart, I really do believe that there's going to be a point in Devin Booker's career and in the Suns' career, and that, you know, maybe even next year, where the Suns are going to be a playoff team again. And we're going to look back and we're going to say, what was the turning point? And it might be this Clippers game. It might very well be the Clippers game. When did the Suns turn it around? Well, obviously, they brought in Saric and they brought in Baines and they drafted McHale. And you could look at all the moves.
Yeah.
But when you look at one game, what's the one game? It's going to be this Clippers game. Right now, we're living in the moment of the Clippers game. But think about a year from now. If the Suns are a playoff team, a year from now, a little bit earlier, right, because of the time difference. But if they're a playoff team next season, and we say, man, look at the Suns, man, they hadn't made the playoffs in so many years. We look at, what's the one game that stands out to you? Man, the day they beat the Clippers, it was like, you know what? That's when we really started to believe.
Yeah.
Because we're even believing that they can get to the playoffs now,
mm-hmm,
because of how they beat one of the best teams in the NBA without Kelly Oubre, without Aaron Baines.
Right.
And I know that they were missing a couple players too. But they had Kawhi and they had Paul George.
Mm-hmm.
And they played hard, the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we will look back at this game. You know, at some point, we will look back at this game and say, that's the game that turned it around.
And certainly, we will look back at the moment for Devin Booker as proof positive for all of his critics, for everybody who has said, empty stats, why doesn't he elevate the organization? Why doesn't he elevate players around them? Why doesn't he make them better? There's been a lack of belief in Devin Booker's ability the last few years. And you can understand why, given how bad the Suns have been
under Devin Booker. Not that it's been his fault, but you can understand why people around the league, maybe fans around the league, maybe haven't taken Devin Booker as seriously as they should.
You win 20 games every year.
Right. When you're,
what's it take serious?
When you're the leading scorer on a team that wins 24 games every year, credibility is a little hard to come by for Devin Booker. But I think those of us who watched him and those of us who knew what he was truly about, we knew, just watch, just wait. Just wait until they get better players around him. Just wait until they get a coach who knows what he's doing. Just wait until he's got a better staff around him, and you will see that he's built for moments like this. And it's incredibly validating, not only for him, but for people who stood behind him and said, no, just watch, wait, you'll see, I promise. Today was kind of that moment where you went, see, there it is. He had a legit team around him, and in the moment, he did what superstars do. They win big games in big moments.
I sent you a story the other day. The players with the worst winning percentages in NBA history. And Devin Booker's in the top 20. Hollis Thompson, Big Country Reeves, Doug Smith, Tyrone Nesby, Tellus Frank, Marcus Fizer, Dante Green, Randy White, Lee Mayberry, Clark Kellogg,
right.
Al Thornton, Doug West, I'm almost there, Jeff Houston, Marquise Chris, Terry Davis, Marcus Liberty, and then Devin Booker after Zach LaVine, number 8, number 19. One of the 20 worst winning percentage in the history of the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to take that seriously.
No, but don't you feel like, given our proximity to Devin, how close we are being able to watch him play, that we knew he was capable of what he did today? That even though credibility might be hard to come by, I always knew this was who he was.
He's a better player than I think everybody that's on this list ahead of him.
Of course. He just has not had
a better player than all of these guys.
Of that organization around him. This was his moment. This was absolutely his moment. I hope he enjoys it, and I hope he forgets about it tomorrow and starts preparing for the Indiana Pacers, because nothing gets any easier for the Suns even after this 3-0 start. It's been a lot of fun. We've got some Diamondbacks baseball coming up tonight, too.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck. Brought to you by Sonic, America's Drive-In. Try the toasted s'more shake only for a limited time at Sonic. And by 72 Sold. Sell your home in 72 hours and net thousands more.
The opener of a three-game series against the Astros starting tonight. Your pitching matchup in Game 1 of this three-game series brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to Berg Simpson. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com tonight. Madison Bumgarner gets the start against Christian Javier, the Astros' sixth-ranked prospect by MLB Pipeline.
Yeah, Javier did a really good job. He was a starting pitcher on Tuesday. He pitched last Tuesday, pitched well in his first start. He gave up a run on two hits in 5 2/3 innings. He struck out 8 against the Dodgers. Pitched a really good game against them, so did a good job. Bumgarner, here's the bottom line. Bumgarner's pitched well enough to win, but they just haven't scored enough runs. And he made some big mistakes in that first game. But the Diamondbacks are 0-4 in games pitched by Madison Bumgarner and Robbie Ray. You're not going to go anywhere unless you win games with your best pitchers pitching. They need to win a game with one of these guys on the mound.
And, of course, he's also been dealing with a diminished velocity of his fastball, something that even he hasn't had an answer for in his first two starts. You're talking about an average four-seam fastball that is several miles per hour slower than what we're used to seeing out of him. Diamondbacks are mixing things up a little bit with the lineup. Dalton Varsho is getting his first start of his career. He's going to be out in left tonight, and David Peralta, who is batting sixth, is going to be the designated hitter this evening.
We had Torrey Lovello on, and he says just to give Peralta like a little bit of a mental break and not have to think about defense, try to get him going offensively. Maybe this is the way they felt that they could do it. Varsho's a guy I thought had a chance to make the original roster because he can he's a catcher, but he could also play some outfield position, so he has a little bit of versatility to him. But he's basically, in reality, he's taking the place of Jake Lamb. Jake Lamb, who would have normally been your DH against the right-handed pitcher, Jake Lamb is not going to play. Varsho's going to get the at-bats that Jake Lamb would have.
Yeah, this game is coming up. It's a little early tonight than what we're accustomed to. 6:10 first pitch here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So right now, it is time for your keys to the game. It's brought to you by San Chevrolet. San Chevrolet, your home team for no payments until 2021 on select models. Head to sanchevrolet.com. For details.
Well, Michael Brantley's doing a great job for the Astros, but the key to beating them has been keeping Springer and Altuve down. And that's what teams have done to beat the Astros. Springer and Altuve are both batting under 200. And get this, 19 strikeouts in 71 at-bats for those two guys. So keep Springer and Altuve cold, and you'll give yourself a chance to win.
What did the Oral Hershiser said a few days ago, guessing is harder than knowing.
Yes.
Well, I think that perhaps applies to this particular situation, maybe. We haven't even talked about that with the Astros in town. Maybe we'll get into that tomorrow.
I don't think Torrey's going to bean anybody.
No,
they need to win a baseball game.
No, of course he's not. No.
They need to win.
Not beaning necessarily, just revisiting everything when it's all said and done. But that's a conversation for another day. We are done for our day here on the Burns and Gambo Show. We're going to be back with you at 2 o'clock here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. D-backs baseball is next. Thanks for hanging out with us. Stay safe, and thanks for listening to the Burns and Gambo Show right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Have a great night, everyone.